Hey, Father, we come and we thank you for being a loving God. We thank you for everyone that is here tonight. Father, we ask a blessing upon us as we hear your precious word. Father, may your word be true tonight. May it be uplifting and always, Father, may we just not be hearers of your word, but Father, may we always be doers of your word. And it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, this evening we're going to take a one-week break from our sermon series on the Gospel according to John. And I think it's probably important for me to explain why I'm doing this. As you know, I am committed to preach verse by verse through the books of the Bible. And that has been my normal practice since I became the minister of this church 16 years ago. But there are moments when what is happening around us presses so heavily on the conscience that it must be addressed directly by the Word of God. And over the past few weeks, I have been very troubled by what I've been seeing that's been going on in Minneapolis and in other cities across our nation. And as I have been watching all of this unfold, my mind has kept returning to something that our Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 24. And in that chapter, Jesus is talking about the days that are leading up to his second coming. And the verses that keep coming to my mind are verses 9 through 12. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. And at that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will deceive many. And because lawlessness is multiplied, most people's love will grow cold. Now, we do need to be very, very careful here. Jesus is not giving us permission to speculate on dates, okay? We're not speculating on dates when he's coming back. And we are not to sensationalize current events. So we need to make sure of that. What Jesus is doing is telling us something deeply sobering about the character of the age that we are now living in. In other words, Jesus is saying as lawlessness increases, it doesn't merely affect our society, it affects our hearts. In other words, it starts to harden people. It starts to cool love. It clouds moral judgment. And it begins to make disorder look like virtue and rebellion look like righteousness. And friends, when I look at what's happening around us, I can't help but see that very dynamic at work. As I watch the news, I see people standing in the way of law enforcement. I see people physically blocking officers from doing their job. I see people trespassing in churches and disrupting worship services. I see disorder being praised as righteousness and defiance celebrated as courage. Now I want to make something very, very clear this evening. When I stand behind this pulpit, I am not a Democrat and I am not a Republican. I'm not Democrat. I am not a Republican. Now, when I'm away from this pulpit, I do have an affiliation. But here, I don't. I'm not progressive. I'm not conservative. And I want to make that very, very clear. I'm a pastor. I'm a minister to the Word of God. So tonight, I am not here to give you my opinion because let's face it, nobody, especially Diane and Jackie, want to hear my opinion.
Amen.
And that's because my opinion carries no authority whatsoever. I'm here this evening to remind you what God's Word says about what we're seeing happening in Minneapolis and these other places around our country. The Word of God, not my opinion. Because this is what really matters. You know what preaching is? I'm going to tell you really simple what preaching is. Preaching is taking this Bible and reminding you what's in it. Most of you already know what's in it. I'm just here to remind you what's in the Bible. Not what Democrats say, not what Republicans say, but what God says. Because that's what really matters. So tonight, we're going to let God's Word speak for itself. Even if it challenges us and cuts us directly against the spirit of this age, we're going to let the Bible talk this evening. Now, if you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And we're going to look at the first 7 verses. And look at how Paul starts out here. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. And then there's a period there. We could stop right there, I guess. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And those which exist have been appointed by God. In other words, you could say, and ICE has been appointed by God. Like it or not, that's what this is saying. Law enforcement has been appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists that authority has opposed the ordinance of God. And they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. And then Paul goes on to say, for rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of that authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword in vain. For it is a minister of God, an avenger of brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of that wrath, but also because of conscience. For because of this you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. That's the word of God. That's not an opinion, not my opinion. It's the word of God. Now, before we go any further, I guess we should answer a simple question. And that is, why in the world is Paul even writing this? Why is Paul writing this? Well, it's simple. Paul is writing to Christians who are living under Roman government. Okay? Paul is writing to Christians who are living under the Roman government. And history shows us that Rome was not very friendly to believers. Rome was pagan. Rome was very, very cruel. And they killed many, many Christians, including the Apostle Paul, for their faith. And yet Paul tells the Christians to what? Submit. Submit to Rome. Submit to authority. And again, the question is why? Well, it's because these Christians They were being accused of stirring up trouble and causing all kinds of disorder. And Paul wanted to make something very clear, not just to them, but also to us. And that is, following Jesus Christ does not make you a rebel against authority. You see, friends, the gospel message never creates chaos. It doesn't create chaos. You know what the gospel message is supposed to do? Change people. Change people. It shapes us to live with honesty, to live with integrity, to live with peace, even in a world that is losing its ever-loving mind. In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're not going to be out there causing trouble. You're not going to be out on the streets creating chaos. You're not going to be fighting against authority just to make a point. We Christians are to be known as honest people, hardworking people, peaceful people, people who can be trusted. And that's why Paul begins by saying every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. Now, when he says every person, what do you think he means? Every person. That includes you. That includes me. Everybody know what that word subjection means? Means to submit. You place yourself under authority. It means you don't put yourself above the law. You don't decide that your anger or your frustration gives you the right to ignore the rules, to ignore the law. And then Paul tells us why in verse 1. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist have been appointed by God. Think of it this way. You get picked up for a traffic, for speeding, and that cop comes over to you and he's talking to you. That cop has been appointed by God, like it or not. You can whine all you want, but that cop has been appointed by God. I'm sorry, authority doesn't come from politicians. Doesn't come from Democrats. Doesn't come from Republicans. It definitely doesn't come from the crowd. Authority comes from God. Now, does that mean every ruler is good? No. Does that mean that every law is right? No. But it does mean that God is still in control, even when leadership is flawed. Do you know, without authority, do you know what would happen to this world? It would fall apart faster than fast. And that right there, that should make us stop and think. In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying, when you thumb your nose at authority, when you interfere with officers who are trying to do their lawful jobs, when you take laws into your own hand, you are not only thumbing your nose at the cops or the law, you are thumbing your nose at God. That's what Paul is saying. And it doesn't matter what your excuse is. You can be angry. You can think you're right. You can believe that your intentions are noble. But friends, good intentions don't make wrong actions right. If what you're doing is going against God's perfect order, it's not obedience, it's rebellion. If you spend any time reading your Bible, you'll quickly see that our God is not a God of chaos. Our God is a God of order. And boy, does he take authority very, very seriously. And when we ignore, or when we fight against that authority without a clear God-given reason, well, we are putting ourselves in rebellion against him. Now, don't get me wrong. You do know that Scripture does teach that there are times when we Christians must disobey the state. There are times when we are to disobey the state, the laws that are being placed upon us. Every now and then that'll happen. That'll happen. You know what I mean? When the state commands what God forbids or forbids what God commands. And you know, we'll actually find some examples of that in the Bible. For instance, in the book of Acts, the apostles were commanded to what? To go and preach in the name of Jesus. We all agree with that? That is what they were told. Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission. Go into the world and preach the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Remember what the, who was it? It was John and Peter. They were arrested, right? They were out preaching. And remember what the Pharisees said? Do not preach Jesus' name again. What do we have here? We have a direct conflict. So they could not go by the law of the land that they were not to preach. They were going to preach because Jesus told them to. Now let's go to the Old Testament. Daniel was told by Nebuchadnezzar to what? Don't pray. You are not to pray. Well, problem with that, God commanded him to pray. Again, what do we have? A direct conflict. And in both cases, obeying God meant disobeying human authorities. But notice that the apostles and Daniel, what did they not do? They didn't riot, did they? Did they resist arrest? No. Did they fight back? No. What did they do? They obeyed God and trusted him with the consequences. That's what biblical obedience looks like. And we can see this example even in our own time. I mean, just think back to the COVID pandemic. I know we don't want to do that. You want to talk about painful memories. How many of you remember when the government ordered churches to close their doors? That was wrong. That was wrong. It directly conflicted with God's command to gather his people for worship. And I'm going to be very honest with you this evening. My greatest regret as a minister is that I went along with that nonsense. We shut our doors, and we did everything that Governor Wolf told us to do. Oh, you can open a little bit now, you can open a little bit later, you can open a little bit this. I'll never close the door again for something like that. Snowstorm's a little bit different. But I'll never do something like that again. Never will I shut the doors of this church. I made a mistake by doing that. You see, from now on, obedience to God comes first, always. Especially when human authorities tell us that we can't come together and worship God. Now, never do that again. But you know, even when we're faithful to God, we still have to live under human authority. Still have to. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is addressing in verse 3. Look again at what he says here. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for fear. Now, I mean, it doesn't get any more straightforward than this. Do you want to have no fear of that authority? This is just common sense. Do what is good. Do what is good and you will have praise from the same. In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying is that if you are living in obedience to God, you have nothing to fear from that authority. And that's because they're here to restrain evil and not to punish you for doing what is right. Let me say this as plainly as I can. If you don't want trouble, if you don't want to get hurt, if you don't want to get pepper sprayed, if you don't want to find yourself face down with handcuffs, if you don't want to find yourself getting shot, you may not want to block law enforcement from doing their lawful duty. That's what this is saying. That's what this is saying. And most of us understand this. This is common sense to us. Especially if you've ever worked in a factory. Seriously, if you've ever worked in a factory, I mean, think about it. If you step in front of moving equipment on a job site, let's say, just for instance, if you walk in the path of a forklift, well, you should not be surprised if you're going to get knocked to the ground and get hurt. Now, is that machine trying to hurt you? No, that machine is just there to do a job. And authority works the same way. When someone steps into the path of authority and chooses to follow chaos, well, that's not injustice. That's reality. That's reality. And the reality is you might get pepper sprayed. You might find yourself in jail. And guess what? They have the authority to do it. You get picked up for speeding. You know, every ticket I have ever gotten, I got it because I mouthed off. You laugh, but right back there, God is my witness, Paul. Every time I have cooperated, I have gotten a warning. Except for state troopers. State troopers do not give you warnings. They're going to give you a ticket. You might as well. You get pulled over by a state boy, you're getting a ticket. But every time I have gotten a ticket, I've mouthed off. I was driving. Okay, I'm getting way off course. But I was driving down the road one time, and I was in a government car. I don't know, I was a recruiter, so I was in a government car, and I had government license plates. Paula was with me. We were going to some formal dinner type thing. And I had my uniform on and everything like that, my dress A's and stuff. I was looking good. And driving down the road, and we were going through this little podunk town in Illinois. Okay? And I was following behind three other cars. It was probably the cop's mother, father-in-law, and cousin. Okay? Cop pulls me over. I am following behind them, going the exact same speed. We were all going about 6-7 miles over speed limit. He came over and asked me why I stopped you. I said, I don't have a clue. And that's where it went back. I said, are you going to get in your car and go pick up the other people that I was following? And he came over and he says, he basically told me to shut up and just give me my driver's license and the registration. And he went back to the car and Paula looked at me and she said, you just bought a ticket. And he came back with an $80 ticket. There's a lesson in that. Don't mouth off to them. Don't get in their way. God has given them the authority to keep chaos from happening in this country. So again, yeah, every ticket I've gotten, I've deserved because I'm all done. And again, that brings us to Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. And because lawlessness is multiplied, most people's love will grow cold. In other words, chaos, all chaos does is harden hearts. All disorder does is breeds fear. When everyone is doing whatever they want to do, trust absolutely disappears. And here's another thing that's really, really bothering me. What I'm seeing with people in churches. We Christians are not called to join in all this chaos that's going on. We are not called to join in the chaos. We are called to be steady when this world is frantic. We are called to be clear when the world is confused. We are to be faithful when this world is angry. Friends, we do not cheer rebellion. And that's what's going on in our country. We have people in churches that are cheering what's going on in Minneapolis. And that should not be. We do not praise disorder. We don't confuse noise with courage. I got news for you. My hope is not in ICE. My hope is not in Donald Trump. My hope is not in the governor of Minnesota. My hope is not in our leaders. My hope is not in a movement. My hope is in Jesus Christ. And that should be all of our hope. And that's because every government, guess what? It will eventually fail. Every leader, I don't care who it is, will eventually disappoint you. You will be disappointed. But Jesus Christ will never disappoint you. You see, the same Jesus who warned us about lawlessness, that same Jesus promised that he's coming back. And when he does, justice will be real, peace will last, and righteousness will rule. But until that day, you and I are called to live faithfully. We're called to submit where we can, stand firm where we must, and we're to guard our hearts so that they don't grow cold. And the greatest example of this is found in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Turn your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want you to look at what Peter said about Jesus in verses 21 through 25. 2 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 25. Peter writes, now again, how long did Peter follow Jesus around and watch his example? For 3 years, right? So this is not somebody that's writing hearsay here. This is somebody who knew Jesus and knew him very, very well. For to this you have been called, since Christ also suffered for you. Now listen to this, leaving you an example. Here's our example. Here's our example of how we handle authority. Are you ready? This is not my opinion. This comes from the Word of God. You want to know how we're to be handling authority, how this stuff should be handled in Minneapolis and all these places? It's right here. I'm not giving you my opinion. Leaving you example that you should follow in his steps, who did no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth, who being reviled was not reviling in return. While suffering, he was uttering no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that having died to sin, we might live to righteousness. By his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. You know, if there ever was a moment when resistance seemed justified, it would have been at the trial of Jesus Christ. You want to talk about injustice? The authority was unjust. The accusations against Jesus were absolutely false. The sentence was wrong. Even Pilate said, "I find no fault in this man." Every legal standard of that time was violated. These people were bringing false witnesses forward. The proceedings were held at nighttime, which was totally against the law. Again, Pilate himself admitted, "I find no fault in this man, no guilt." How did Jesus handle that? Did he resist? No. No. Did he call down the angels? No. No, he didn't call down the angels. Did he go out there and incite the crowd? No. Did he obstruct those who were trying to arrest him? No. Did he lash out at the corrupt authority? No. Scripture tells us he remained silent. He remained silent before his accusers. And he just entrusted himself to his Father in heaven. That's what Jesus did. Now, why in the world would Jesus submit like that? Well, it wasn't because the authorities were righteous. It was because his Father's sovereign. His Father was sovereign. Jesus knew that even through sinful rulers and unjust courts, God was accomplishing his redemptive purposes. And what looked like defeat was actually obedience. What looked like weakness in our eyes, this was faith. And what looked like injustice was the very means by which God would save you and me. Jesus did not redeem this world through resistance. Jesus redeemed this world through submission. Jesus never tried to overthrow Rome. None of the apostles ever tried to overthrow Rome. Instead, Jesus bore a cross. And all of the apostles except John bore a martyr's death. And it was through that willing obedience, even unto death, with Jesus Christ that brought us forgiveness, reconciliation, and peace to all who believe. So the questions that you and I need to ask ourselves this evening is, are we being shaped more by God's word, or are we being shaped more by the emotions of the moment? Too many people are getting caught up in emotions, and they're not grabbing onto this. Again, I told you, what I'm doing tonight, I'm not here giving you my opinion. I'm telling you what the Bible says about authority. And this is what the Bible says about authority. We're to respect authority that's placed over us because that authority comes from God. Are we more eager to resist than to submit? Are we more concerned with appearing righteous than with obeying God? Friends, again, God is sovereign over all authorities. And we Christians, like it or not, we are called to submit to lawful government. If we like the law, or if we don't like the law.
if we like the cop or we don't like the cop. As long as they don't go against this, we are called to submit. Not because the government is perfect, but because God is perfect. Not because rulers deserve ultimate loyalty, but because God deserves loyalty. And not because obedience is easy, but because Jesus Christ is worthy of that obedience. So tonight, let us make that our prayer and our resolve to be faithful when the world is chaotic, to submit to God where God calls us to submit, and to stand firm when disobedience requires courage. Again, friends, I have not given you my opinion tonight about this subject. And it's about to get even worse, because if any of you heard the news, there was another shooting tonight right before church. Some ICE agents shot another guy in Minneapolis. And this is just going to crank it up a little bit more. I'm not going to get into what's going on. I believe that this stuff should not be tried through the media. And let's wait. Let it go to court and let them. They know more things that are going on. But there was another shooting. And it's just gonna ratchet it up even more now. The mayor is already coming out, and he's smoking it even worse now, and things like that, stoking the fire and stuff. So, all I know is what the Word of God says. We're to obey the authorities that are placed over us, as long as they don't go contrary to this. So again, you may like this message, you may not like the message, but I'm just preaching from the Word of God. If you have a problem, you have a problem with this. You don't have a problem with me. So let's pray, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, you rule over heaven and earth, and there is no authority apart from your will. Father, please forgive us for the ways we have been shaped by the spirit of the age more than by your precious word. Father, forgive us of our pride, our anger, and our quickness to justify what you have not commanded. Father, give us hearts that fear you above all else. Father, give us wisdom to know when to submit, and courage to obey you faithfully. Father, help us to honor those who have been placed in authority, even when it's difficult. May our lives silence foolish accusations, and may we adorn the gospel of our precious Savior. And most importantly, Father, may our obedience point others to Jesus Christ, who submitted himself for our salvation. And we ask these things in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.